You are about to journey against the current of contemporary thought and beyond the troubled waters of daily news to the very source of our extraordinary culture. You are going upstream with Cashel and Edge.
Well, welcome back, Loy. Here
hey,
we are,
Jack.
Upstream with Cashel and Edge. I got to tell you about my experience a couple weeks ago. Flying back from Tampa to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I have a driver who takes me to the airport sometimes when I have an early morning, late night flight. I'm with my wife. So he picks us up at 4:30 when we left, fly to Tampa, and we come back. We have a 9:20 p.m. flight coming back, and he doesn't do nights. So I had to arrange for a car service, et cetera. Except we're 4 hours late taking off, right? So instead of leaving at 9:20, we're leaving at 1:20.
Oh, nice.
Except now we're leaving at 2:20 because it's daylight savings time intervenes.
Crap.
So we arrive in Kansas City at 5:30. I said, man, I should have just called Jerry. He works mornings. He could have come and gotten us, you know, and saved the money we had to pay for the car service. Who, by the way, is a good car service because they stuck with us the whole time they showed up. I don't know how the hell we're getting home if otherwise, you know. But so that was, you know, and as I wasn't that mad at the airline. I mean, stuff happens, you know, stuff, weather, whatever. But that extra hour, I didn't ask for that.
No.
Right?
No.
I didn't want it because that meant the next day I'm getting to bed at 6 a.m.
Exactly.
And I'm already an hour behind on my sleep, you know?
Exactly. What's the upside to that?
There was none.
There's none, right?
Right.
You know, this is a pig peeve. It sounds a little trivial.
Right.
As a subject that we should discuss here on our vaunted Upstream with Cashel and Edge.
Sure.
But it really isn't because... It's a matter of principle now.
It's indicative.
It is. And it's a line. If I look at it this way, it's sort of the subsidiarity argument. If you can't hold the line on something this obviously egregious, this obviously disrespectful of the individual and his dog and his office and his wife and his kids, everybody is inconvenienced at least by this.
Right.
Oftentimes horrible mistakes are made.
Right.
You know, I think I was supposed to get married one time.
There you are. And lifelong bachelor because of daylight
savings. Because of daylight savings time.
Right.
And you know, talk to any priest or any minister about what happens on that Sunday. It's like, well, I got all these people hanging out in the parking lot for an hour,
right.
Or they're not there and they're
showing
up. Or they
get there an hour early on the back end. I had my worst experience was I was, and it was a stupid one, and I have to take some credit for this, I guess, but on a Monday afternoon, I was supposed to fly back to New Jersey. I had a direct flight, and I had some business to do, but my family lives there, so they're going to have a little gathering for me. And it was also the finals of the NCAA basketball championship, right?
Okay.
So, you know, if I take my plane, I get there on time, blah, blah, blah. It's Monday, right?
Uh-huh.
So I go to work on Monday. I have my own office. And then I go to lunch at a place I usually go to lunch, and it's kind of empty.
Yeah.
I said, boy, Monday. I guess on Monday people don't come out to lunch, you know? And then I go to the airport. And I'm looking up for the Newark flight, and it's already gone, right?
Yeah.
I had neglected to set the clock back in my office.
It happened to me once. Yeah. I missed a flight.
2 days later.
Yeah.
And
it's just, think about it. Think about the arrogance of the government keeping that. And we'll talk about the history of it, how it happened when all that other bad BS was happening.
Right.
World War I era.
Right.
Wilson and all those other creeps were in there doing all that leftist mumbo jumbo to us and getting our country derailed. But the audacity of say, you know, hello? Yeah, listen. tomorrow I want you to change the time you eat.
and tell your dog he's going to get fed at a different time. I want your office to change its hours. I want you to run around and dial every clock in your house back or up. I want you to take your medicine at a different time tomorrow than you're taking it today. Can you imagine that? And it's like, may I ask why? No, shut up. And there's no reason. So shut up, because we're the government. And we might arbitrarily change it again.
You know, I lived in Indiana for a bunch of years. And Indiana at the time was one of two states in the country that did not have daylight savings time, mm-hmm. right? And there was an ongoing battle every year, usually between the rural interests who did not want daylight savings time. Because they wanted that hour in the morning so they could do things like you're talking about, like feed the chickens and milk the cows
yeah.
in daylight, or as much daylight as they could get. Then they could do work for a couple hours, come in and have breakfast, like a farmer's breakfast. Whereas the people in the city just didn't do nothing, rolled out of bed, had a farmer's breakfast, and were 50 pounds overweight. But they wanted the extra hour at the end so their kids could play soccer, you know, in the daylight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody really. I mean, I think if you gave anybody choice, I mean, I can't imagine what kind of a nutcase would go, yeah, I want that disruptive thing because I need another BS thing stacked onto my schedule that if I don't remember it, some tragedy is going to befall right. me.
Or at least some minor inconvenience. Twice a year.
April 15th. I like that, knowing that I have to scramble for some, put a bunch of numbers down and mail it or else I'm going to get slapped. Right. I like that. Because I like totalitarianism. Well, this one's ridiculous. Folks, if we can't hold the line on this and just say, I want to see grilling like we see on the FBI with the FBI now. Well, it looks like you got undercover agents working. No, sir, we don't do that. It's like, well, what about this picture of these undercover agents? Well, I can't discuss
it. It's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's like, I'd like to get them in the hot seat and go, what the hell are you making everybody dance around like a monkey on a string twice a year for,
right.
changing every clock in their house? And why? Well, there's no reason. Well, then stop it.
Right.
Stop it.
Last week, I was also in the one state that still resists daylight savings.
Arizona.
Yeah. And they're proud of that.
They should be.
The people I was talking to, but they're people I was talking to are proud of a lot of things that the rest of Arizona probably aren't. But
causes its own chaos.
No, you're right. And what makes it worse is that there's, I hate to say this, but there's no uniformity to it. So, for instance, Europe is on daylight savings time.
There are certain things that should be uniform.
So if you're going to do it uniformly.
Right.
Well, here's what happened to me once. I was doing research on his book on Ron Brown, former Commerce Secretary, who was killed in a plane crash of
very unfortunate
origin. And this happened in Croatia in 1996, election year. He was there on a mission to introduce the neo-fascists who were running Croatia at the time, the Tudjman family, to a certain American corporation.
Mm-hmm. Croatia was one of the Ukraines of that era.
That's right, exactly.
Filled up with Nazis.
Yeah.
Same deal.
But we helped them in the Balkan War, and they were indebted to us to the point where they helped expedite the termination of Mr. Brown.
They were indebted to us.
yeah. You period S period.
Not the us right. of the American Republic.
But so I'm investigating this, and I really had to get my timeline down to the minute to prove my thesis that this plane was lured off course. It didn't naturally crash into the mountainside. And I kept coming up with this differential that it was just making no sense to me. I was making sure, make sure I got my time zones right. How many hours away is it there? Because things were going on back in Washington or going back in Croatia, and it was necessary that I synchronized it, right? Well, after pulling my hair out, which accounts for my present state of things, that's the tragedy. So you talk about tragedies, daylight savings time?
That hairline's a tragedy.
I have a nephew who went bald early and said there was proof that to him. It was proof that there was no God. He went bald earlier. I said, but you got a nice head. You wear bald pretty well. Then That was not compensation for him. A beautiful wife, too.
Only half the women in the world don't like bald guys. It's like, you can't have like 4 billion girlfriends.
No, you can't, right? You only need one.
You just, 2 billion's enough.
But he, so then it, after all kinds of like manipulation, cogitation, I realized Croatia went on daylight savings time a week before we did, right?
Wow.
Threw everything off. I mean, it took me just a ton of time, and it reaffirmed my antipathy towards this malevolent imposition on America and the world of a false paradigm that didn't need to exist. Daylight savings time.
Apparently, the first one happened during World War One.
Yeah.
And they used the excuse that it was more fuel efficient. Okay. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah, right.
It was to preserve energy.
Yeah.
And then people pushed back and they got rid of it and they reinstated it under FDR in World War II. Same
right.
reasons.
Right.
Oh, it's just too energy. You gotta save energy. So it's time for you all to fall under our control in a very obvious, disruptive way. And then it happened again, and they fought back. This sucks, it's stupid, it's ridiculous. They brought it back out again, I think in the fuel gas embargo crunch, whatever.
Jimmy Carter or
yeah,
whatever.
Either that or Nixon or something.
In fact, they made it mandatory at some point because it had been or close to mandatory.
I think it was the 55 speed limit era.
Yeah, right.
When they just came in and just said, you know, jackbooted thugs came in and they said, all you states with 18 and over drinking, you got to stop that.
Right.
Or you won't get highway funds, 55 miles an hour, or you don't get highway funds. Change your time zone.
Click it or ticket. We're going to arrest people in their own cars for not keeping themselves properly safe, right?
That's right. I love the days when LL would be driving down the street, driving down the highway in that big old Bonneville convertible. Give me another Budweiser, Tug.
Okay, Dad. Can I have a sip?
Yeah.
Well, they got rid of bench seats, too, for...
yeah.
Because now you can't make out while you're driving, you know?
No.
Or it's very difficult, anyhow. People have, you know, things jabbing into their bodies.
And at my age, it just looks distasteful.
I think even when you were young, it didn't look good, you know?
No.
Now they, and it seems like a minor thing. Yeah, I mean, it's something we get used to and we've adapted to. And
which is exactly why we shouldn't.
No, it's exactly what we shouldn't, right? We even celebrate it like it's, fall back, right?
Spring forward, fall. And it's like lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. You got to have that kind of mnemonic crap or else you'd forget it because it makes no sense.
Right, it's right.
Like, spring forward, okay. But, I got 8 clocks. I got 8 clocks I got to mess with.
And you always forget about one.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at that one and then you panic because you're an hour later
exactly.
or early.
Exactly. I did it this time. I did it this time. We don't need that chaos.
And then
we've got plenty of chaos.
Then I don't know whether my electronic devices have picked it up or not. They do.
They do. But how do you know?
I don't know.
Because your car might not. Mine doesn't.
My one electronic device doesn't. My phone picks up time zones, right, when you move. But my tablet does not.
Mm-hmm.
So it stays stuck in one time. That's fine. I can live with that.
But my car doesn't.
Yeah.
And I always drive old beaters. I'm not a car guy. So, you know, I hate spending money on cars. I just buy old beaters. And I had to go to the owner's manual
right.
online.
You forget. You
to
only
figure
do it twice
out
a year.
How to do it, right. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the whole time, I don't know who I'm mad at, but I'm mad at you bastards for doing this. Stop it.
Yeah.
So is it time for us to have a subsidiary in groundswell? Should we just send a message saying to Mr. Time God,
right.
Is there a time czar? Does the president have a time czar appointed?
They have a climate czar, and that leads to a natural segue here in
yes,
a second.
Yes, it does.
Right. They're, basically, it's a way of playing God.
Yeah.
So we can mess with your time, you know?
And your dog doesn't understand it.
No. Your chickens don't understand that.
Why didn't you get up and feed me?
Yeah. Why'd you wait an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Or your cow.
And you forget your medicine.
My cows don't like it.
Oh, it's time for my medicine. Oh, wait a minute. It's not really. I'm supposed to take it an hour ago.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But it's okay because it's cool.
It is. Let's just review what happened in that decade, by the way. You mentioned this. You referred to this. Okay, you got 1913.
Yeah.
You get the Federal Reserve
yes.
Act. Yes.
Oh,
right?
Tragic.
And 19.
Income tax.
You get is that the 16th Amendment, the income tax? I think it was 1914. Then you get the 17th Amendment. It's interesting. I'm just reading the 16th Amendment again on income tax. And what it does is it denies subsidiary, denies states' rights. This is not, you're out of it. This is us going directly to your people and telling them how to.
Antithetical to everything that
the federal government, right, the Constitution. 17th Amendment, you get the direct election of senators. Again, we're taking it out of your hands. We're taking on this responsibility ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 18th Amendment is nuts. Basically, the banning of alcohol. They left enough loopholes that they created a like 15-year
horrible criminal
right
enterprise that we still live with.
Yeah, right. And then the one amendment that I'm not sure we could talk about, but that really should have rethought.
Well, that's
the 19th Amendment.
Yeah.
Nothing personal.
Mm-mm. It introduced more zero-sum thinkers into the pool,
right, and a whole generations of elves,
mm-hmm.
the great destroyers of democracy everywhere,
mm-hmm.
educated liberal females, into our voting pool, right. This would be a different country without that. It'd be a better country.
Well, and it's not specifically a sex or gender issue. They should have tightened the screws down on who was able to vote in the first place.
Right.
And even if they broadened it with suffrage, at the same time, there should have been some attention given to qualifications for voting.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. Everybody goes, oh, that's terrible. What? It used to be just landed gentry. It's like, well, they did have a stake.
That's right. And many of these things segued. I mean, they mesh together.
Yeah.
So, for instance, if you're going to ban alcohol,
mm-hmm.
you need another way to raise revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So you raise the revenue by imposing an income tax. And to get this passed, you need a whole new collective of voters to put mm-hmm. pressure yeah. on the legislators. So and you need the female vote.
And an event.
Right.
The war.
Yeah.
I mean, all these wars, they never let them go to waste.
No. So
look at all the stuff FDR did that was horrendous.
Right. In the middle of this, 1918, Woodrow Wilson, probably the greatest threat to subsidiarity the nation's had.
Ever, yeah.
Maybe until Joe Biden or Barack Obama. But not only that, but then he started rounding up dissidents and shipping them out of here. Which may have been a good thing after all, but it set the precedent for January 6th, what happened there. The Palmer Raids, as they're known, which the left used to be horrified by, even though these were non-citizens for the most part, and I think all of them were non-citizens, or they were not native-born citizens, shipped them off to wherever they came from. But yeah, that was a rough decade. That was progressivism.
Progressivism, yeah.
And then also it was a decade of eugenics.
Yes.
Right?
Big eugenics decade. And people swallowed that stuff because there was propaganda. It was a good decade for propaganda.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, but it culminates with the Scopes trial, where the progressives of that day were on the side of the guy who's teaching Hunter's civics biology, which is a outright flagrant, by today's standards, almost comically racist book, you know? Then that gives us also Buck versus Bell, which legitimized the right of the state to sterilize people they thought were mentally deficient. which by Margaret Sanger standards, she was working off World War I intelligence tests, which is probably another part of this plot, decided that 47% of the American male population were, in her less than sympathetic term, morons. Right?
Yeah.
The moron half of the population. Right?
I think it's a technical term.
Right. Now it's the rural white rage half of the population. They still think we're morons.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just saw this survey. It was an incredible survey. And these are the people making these decisions. That's why I raised this. The American elite class, I forget the term they use for it, but to qualify, you have to have a household income of over $150,000 and at least one graduate degree in the household, right? And then they compared that cohort against the rest of America. In this group, 59% of the people thought the U.S. government gave too much freedom to the American people. For the voters,
I actually saw that or heard it.
Voters writ large are something like 27%, and this group didn't want you to have gas propelled cars and so on and so forth. And they're the ones making decisions. They're the ones who say, on the one hand they say, okay, Japanese people, we're going to put you in a camp because we just think it's a good idea, and it may not have been a terrible idea. I don't want to be too hard on FDR and his Supreme Court. Eleanor Roosevelt wanted to enlist the entire American population in the military. They stopped her. I say, like we said, fascism comes and it calls itself anti-fascism.
Yes.
And they're after calling Charles Lindbergh a fascist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does that all the time. It projects its own vices onto the rest of the population.
That's the number one thing, is that projection.
And that
That's
projection.
That's a go-to.
Right. And that begins with D in daylight savings time. That D rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And they're bringing to River City, they're bringing daylight savings time. They should reincorporate that into the Music Man. But to me, it was a prelude to what they're doing now. So if we can control time.
Oh, yeah.
We can also control climate, right?
That's right.
And the climate scam is even...
Oh, it's tragic. It's just, it's very frustrating to anybody who does more than a superficial bit of research.
Right.
It's so frustrating. It's just like, it's like every one of these fascist doctrines that people embrace as part of something humanitarian or righteous or even positive for the country.
Right.
It's all bullshit. It's terrible stuff.
And as Eric Hoffer says, each movement begins as a movement, becomes a business, and ends up as a racket. And some of these things bypass the first two phases.
Oh, yeah. They come out of the chute as a racket. Climate's one of them.
Yeah.
The climate.
A top down.
Hoax.
Yep. There's no organic, local level people wondering about their climate because they knew something that people have known since the beginning of time, is that climate changes.
And, they get a bunch of researchers who are on the dole.
Yep.
The machine that pays, they have, again, unlimited money.
Right.
And it all goes to all these Johns Hopkins and everybody and all this. Just
NASA.
NASA, blah, blah, blah. All I have to do is look back at my childhood and remember those weekly readers and all the crap that was in them. Was propaganda for NASA, for UNICEF, for UNESCO, all of these, for the FBI. All of it was just the expansion, the annihilation of subsidiarity, the expansion of the federal footprint into your life, the expansion of graft and waste, fraud, and abuse. NASA is a great example of that. Who are you going to hold accountable at NASA? Well, they love things where there's no possible accountability.
Right.
We're going to send a spaceship to the moon. When? Sometime in the future.
Right.
Why? because it's important for our scientific study. Okay. I mean, it's like climate.
Well, I mean, I will say this, having grown up in awe of the astronauts and being involved in the space race with Soviets.
That's what they wanted you to be.
But there was a logic behind that.
Okay.
There was no logic particularly to go into the moon. That was more of a sort of a public relations
campaign. Well,
the
space race could have all been BS too.
It could have been.
Probably was.
But if they control space, we're in trouble. I mean, that's a legitimate anxiety. There was a legitimate thing called the Soviet Union.
Right.
And it was a bad place. It was an evil empire. And our battle against it, I think, was, in retrospect, even no matter how skeptical we get about the big state, a worthwhile battle. Not necessarily fought intelligently on all fronts.
No, and I'm sure the waste, fraud, and abuse was to the moon.
It probably was. And there's always been an exploitive class in there.
Yeah.
More worried about their 10% than they are about our success. But that said, but the climate spinoff, at least when you had a space program, you ended up in the friggin' moon, you know? You had parades, you know? For John, you had John Glenn's. Who's the friggin' John Glenn of climate? Al Gore? I mean, he's as close as we get, and he's a beached whale. I mean, there's
Al Gore, John Kerry. What was that? Ed Begley Jr. He's the only guy who walked the walk.
He walked the walk, right?
That guy rode his damn bicycle.
Yeah.
It's like, if you guys are going to be for this stuff, don't be like those. Who was it that they trotted out when they were trying to claim that, make a point that Trump was guilty of some horrible thing that they made up? And they had 52 heads of different departments or former heads.
Oh, right. That was Biden laptop.
Okay.
51.
51,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
That trick is used in every one of these deals.
Yeah.
The propaganda. That propaganda trick. 51, and tonight, 51.
Right.
Highly decorated former officials of departments stated we're in agreement. It's like, well, shit, there you go. He's got to be guilty. I mean, 51.
Yeah.
How many scientists do they rally to these? And they're all on the teat.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a... When Eisenhower left office, we know that he talked about the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
And we were allowed, the left allowed itself to see some merit in that argument. But a big part of his speech was about the science-industrial complex. Because even then, he worried that so much of our science was being government-funded. And that problem's only gotten worse.
Way worse.
And in the case of climate, then we get all of these, to get one of these things published, your study published, you've got to toe the line.
It's like medical.
Yeah, I mean, you can get into COVID big way, but it's you're not allowed dissent.
No.
You dissent at the cost, at the risk of your career. I saw the, I don't know if you saw the Don Lemon, Elon Musk interview at all, where
Elon's a good jujitsu artist.
He's great. He goes, and he... Lemon's in so far over his head. It's just
pathetic. So far over his head. He is an intellectual midget.
And he says to him,
excuse me, little person.
There you go. Good thing you corrected yourself.
That's right.
I had 911 on my I have 911 on my speed dial here, so in case, just for this show, in case you say something inappropriate.
Well, we're in Johnson County, so you'll get answered in 9 seconds.
I have to wait till you get back to Missouri. You get back to what I'm used to. No, but he says to him, I forget what the argument was. He said, well, the CDC says, And then Musk says to him, that's a logical fallacy. And Lemon goes, well,
you're stock in trade.
Right,
what you do.
He says, more specifically, it's an argument to authority. When you have no facts, you just say the CDC says, right? And then a day later, I was listening to Megyn Kelly interview Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Uh-huh.
And she was doing that. And she's usually better than that. She was doing this because I think someone said, you've got to play devil's advocate here. And he called her on it too, you know. You're quoting, you're citing the CDC on me. They have no authority. They are the problem here we're talking about, you know. And
well, and this is a breakthrough that's been happening.
Yes.
Such a wonderful mega trend to finally see that kind of dynamic play out.
Right.
Being called out. And you see it in these, when some of these firebrands get up there and start grilling FBI and these other people and making them say the same, oh, I can't speak
ongoing
to that.
Investigation.
It's an ongoing. Yeah, you know what? I hear that a lot from you guys. And
right.
Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's very, what's the word when it makes you, it gets things out of your system, makes you feel good.
Purgative,
yeah.
It is. And there are, you know, we're seeing, just on to be on the positive side, sort of cultural heroes emerging mm-hmm. who are willing to, with clout, who are willing to risk a lot to fight back. Elon Musk being classic, Robert Kennedy Jr. being another
yep.
one. Then you see these people like Barry Weiss and Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi, you know, people who
Naomi
are-
Naomi Wolf.
Naomi Wolf, one of my faves, or Brett Weinstein. People who were not on the right, but who have taken a red pill.
And by the way, people who I think at this point are much more supportive of subsidiarity.
Yes, right. They're beginning to sense that.
They
to
are.
See that. The I got involved in this thing. One story I've been pushing is for the justice for Derek Chauvin, the cop mm-hmm. in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's great.
It's not a popular cause.
No.
But it's gained some momentum. And then I saw...
You put yourself out there quite a few times, actually. Obama didn't write his autobiography.
I was talking to my daughter.
We shot that plane down.
My daughter in Florida, who's politically okay, simpatico. Although on the positive side about the ballpark issue,
yeah,
my other daughter and I agreed on something for the first time.
Is
since,
that right?
Since puberty, I was really pleased. We could bond now over a shared issue, which made me believe that it was not going to succeed. I still don't know, but I presume I'm right. So I tell my daughter, I said, oh, I got a new book deal. And she goes, what's it on? You know, she's nervous.
Yeah. She's nervous.
I said, Ashley Babbage. Oh, phew. Yeah. I said, you're relieved? Why? She goes, I thought it was going to be on Derek Chauvin. I said, no, not yet. Maybe next book. But what they did, there was a momentum to getting justice for Derek Chauvin. Totally railroaded. The most flagrantly unjust trial at that level in our lifetimes. And then they sent out their hit guy. And I'll name him by name because I wrote an opinion piece that will appear, I should appear by now. His name is Radley Balco.
Great name.
It's like a James Bond name.
Radley Balco. He was the Baccarat dealer.
Right.
And crooked.
Crooked as the day is long. And he was wrote 9 years for the Washington Post. And now he's on Substack. I don't know what happened. But I guess he's trying to regain his momentum by retelling the whole story. And his goal, and very specifically, is to stop the momentum that Chauvin was gaining, that the Chauvin forces were gaining. Because Tucker Carlson was talking about it. Megyn Kelly was talking about it.
He's a fireman.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right out of Fahrenheit 451.
Right.
A book burner, right? The left employs a whole slew of these people to put out the fires.
Oh yeah, they watch all the programming.
Yeah,
and then they watch for certain phrases and trends and things like that. Yeah.
Tell me about the term fireman. Where did you get that?
I think it was Fahrenheit 451.
It is because that's the exact phrase I used in one of my books to explain that class of leftist hitmen, right? And with the allusion to Fahrenheit 451, which was a very popular science fiction novel, I think, until school teachers figured out it was kind of conservative, mm-hmm. as Bradbury was, written in 1950-something.
Yeah, they got tripped up on a couple of those deals.
1984, right? Yeah.
Hey, they're talking about us and you, Miss Landers. They're talking about you. Propagandists.
Hey, Leave It to Beaver reference for those who may not know that. They're getting – so his job was to come back, and the people he really wanted to get off, and he mentions them several times, were a pair of black intellectuals, Glenn Lowry and John McWhorter, who are open-minded guys and have their own podcast.
Contra bonos mores.
Ivy League professors, and they began to open themselves up to the idea that maybe Chauvin was innocent. And he spent 30,000 words writing trying to prove that Chauvin's not innocent, that he murdered George Floyd. And to do that, he had to overlook this most significant bit of evidence in the whole thing.
But there were no crushed capillaries or veins.
To do that, to make that case, he had to omit the fact that this D.C. medical examiner called up the Minneapolis medical examiner, threatened him to ruin him and shame him in the pages of the Washington Post unless he changed his
diagnosis
or
whatever.
Report for autopsy report. And that was public knowledge. I mean, this came out in the court hearings and was later reaffirmed.
It's not like echo chamber for it.
No, none.
It is plunk.
And so by going to people who don't know the case as well as he did and omitting that key detail, he could make the case that, no, he really did have. Look, in his autopsy report, he said he had neck compression without saying how he got to that thing.
Right.
He added it under fear for his life, right? So now I have to undo that. But we deal with it. There's
the power of omission and forcing people like you to prove a negative.
Right. And so when they introduce something like daylight savings time, which may seem innocent, if there are people like us who are fighting back against it, they have a whole subclass of these firemen.
Mm-hmm.
They work for places like Slate and Think Progress, things that go out of business, and Media Matters, and, you know, sometimes these fact-checking organizations.
Yeah, you smash them, they break into 1,000 little pieces, and
right.
they come back as, like, you know, 1,000 different versions of Acorn.
Right, that's right.
Remember when they did that?
Yeah, right.
Acorn, what a racket.
Yeah. And it took a 23-year-old and his girlfriend to bust them, right?
O'Keefe, that was his... I don't know if he's ever topped that one. It was so outrageous.
You know what's interesting about it? He was working with Andrew Breitbart, which helped a lot. And it was at that time, you know what made it possible at that time is that this is in 2000, I believe it was 2009. Obama had just taken office. Yeah, it was 2009. The major media was still paying attention to what the Samizdat was doing, right? So he got publicity that he would not get today. Today, they would simply ignore it. He may have done bigger, some better things in the years since, some comparable, but.
Yeah, there wasn't enough social media to give it broad exposure. They needed that.
The firemen weren't prepared at that point to fight back. Mm-hmm. So they were fighting back with the Washington Post, say.
Mm-hmm.
And that you win already. When the Washington Post has to come after you, you're winning already. And afterward, they stop playing that game and they start farming out the debunking, discrediting to, you know, fact checkers. And
yeah.
Or a classic case was, I'll start with Fusion GPS, which was the middleman in the Steele dossier, right? In 2015, these guys, David DeLeiden and his group did these undercover videos of Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts.
Right. I remember that.
Damning. And this is classic the way they work. So when Hillary Clinton, who was then running for president, saw these videos, right, and was asked about them, she said, these are troubling. She found them troubling. And now Hillary Clinton, big champion of Planned Parenthood. Basically what happened—
Troubling because she's getting pressure.
Right.
Troubling not because it's baby parts being sold, but troubling because it's a camel's nose under the tent.
That's exactly right. And here they are showing in this video— in a tray of literal baby parts, and the little this sing-songy Valley Girl type nurse or whatever is picking them up with a pair of tweezers or whatever, and saying, "Oh, here's a heart. This could go for a lot of money. This is worth probably X amount of dollars," you know.
And the one woman associated with it saying she was going to get a new Lamborghini.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And that Lamborghini for selling baby parts.
And There's no defense for this, right? When you see it in the raw like this, when you see the transactions.
It must have upset 10% of the leftists.
Yeah, it could have. Enough. It could have hit enough of them to
move
change
something.
The dynamic. Right?
Yeah.
So what they did, the Washington Post didn't do this themselves. They hired Fusion GPS.
A cutout.
And Fusion GPS said, we reviewed 4 hours of video, and we found that it was edited. It was all edited. Well, Dalyden, whom I've met, he said, yeah, we edited it. When I go to the bathroom, I turn the video off, you know, and then we turn it back on. There was no editing. It was so plain. There was no tricks. It was self-damning revelation. But now they have firemen. They have middlemen who are designed to nip that stuff in the bud. You know, so if we get exposed next week— for being time zone deniers. Daylight savings time deniers.
Daylight savings time deniers. I'm just thinking, what moneyed group is going to be behind them that, you know, send them out to, you know, preserve this indoctrination?
There are now DST deniers among you, right? Beware. They live mostly in rural white America. I mean, in fact, the DST... dissident crowd are, by and large, rural and white. I mean, that's the people who are least sympathetic to daylight savings time. People whose cows want to get milked by God's time, not by Washington D.C. time.
So. That's right. We want to get back to God's time and God's money.
Right. So
they can have their lousy fiat currency too.
Yeah. And if not, and that is. One of their linguistic tricks is to use the word denier, which was originally used for, of course, people who denied an historical fact, meaning the Holocaust, and now being applied to anyone who denied bizarre computer projections or,
only they can use a term like that
right.
And feel good and smug about it when we're all going, that's like 1984 crap.
Right.
What are you, nuts?
Not supposed to be a training manual, guys.
Yeah.
And
denier.
Climate change is, I mean, DST, Daylight Savings Time, is as elusive and as non-tangible as climate change. Right?
Yeah.
It's just an imposition.
It's an imposition. And we've had it.
Yeah.
Damn it, we've had it.
So what should the DST deniers of America do? How should they manifest their... objection to this?
They should say, we want to turn the clock back, all right.
Great motto. Turn the clock back on DST.
Turn the clock back on DST.
You know, we're probably the only podcast in America to take on both the Americans with Disability Act, the ADA, and Daylight Savings Time.
Yeah.
We're out on that cutting edge, Loy. I mean, I got to hand it to us.
Well, we pick on the big ones. But we'll let you write your 28th book about something that's serious. Like
Daylight Savings Time.
That's right. That'd be a thin book, wouldn't it?
We could fluff it out like we've done for the last 45 minutes. You know, not that we fluffed it out, but there's meaningful segues, I should say.
That's a lot
of meaningful segues. Get into the history of time. And here's a fact, Hoy, that I didn't know until... I learned this about the same time I learned that the arrow next to your little gas gauge tells you which side of the car the gas tanks on. I went many, many 2 years without knowing that.
I think I was about 45 when I learned that. Right. So it was a slow. I was a little slow on the uptake.
Because you'd have to get your rental car, especially. You had to get out and figure it out with size on. But no, there's a lot of things we don't learn until it's late in the game. But so this is something we could learn and get onto early and figure out a strategy. And if you want to pick up the cudgel or the mantle that we've laid out here, call Real Media in Overland Park, Kansas, where we are, and do your own podcast.
It's a great place to do it. They're great people.
Right.
We're very happy here.
And of course, you have to start with the premise that yours will be an inferior process.
But I don't want to be like Cashel and Edge.
I don't want to take on controversial issues like daylight savings time and the Americans with Disability Act and other cutting edge issues. You put the Edge in Edge. They won't have a guy named Edge.
Mm-mm.
You know, and that's not your stage name.
No, it's the real thing.
That's the name you were God gifted you with.
In fact, I'm Loy Edge the Third.
And tell me about the Loy part. What's that?
I heard that my grandfather was named after a friend of my great-grandfather's whose last name was Loy.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of confirmed that, kind of, because I went to the old burial in Dade County, Missouri, or something down there in the Branson area, or not, but somewhere down there by the Stockton Lake.
Right.
And I saw this old cemetery, and there were a lot of people with that last name.
So you guys were probably slave owners.
No, Quakers.
Were you really?
Well, originally.
Oh, that's what you're saying now.
They fought on the Union side. It said on the tombstone.
Right. No, Southwest Missouri was a Republican stronghold.
Well, I don't know if they were Republican.
But it was a Union stronghold, I should say.
And then,
Partly because the soil was too poor to support slavery, you know. So virtue comes out of poverty, you know.
Well, but, I don't have any slaves.
No, I don't own any. Never did.
Mm-mm.
Nor have I ever been a slave.
No.
Nor do I want to be a slave.
Well, I think we both are, actually.
Right.
And I think that's what we're addressing here.
Slave.
Change your clock. Change your clock. Hey, slave, dance like a monkey. Go change your clocks.
Right. Worry about the climate. Take your shot. Take your vaccine.
Take your shot. Drive 55.
Right. Click it or ticket.
Click it or ticket.
There are many major impositions. Take that cigarette outside. No, you can't even smoke outside anymore.
But I'm in a cigar bar. Shut up.
Right.
Anyhow. It's not a cigar bar anymore because Karen says no.
Anyhow, next week, join us once again. We're on the frontiers of freedom here on Upstream.
With Cashel and Edge.